The Lord is faithful and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. We come to the throne of God. We approach God freely as we are, bringing our joys and also our needs and everything and laying it at the feet of the cross. So we did some sharing of the joys of celebrations about the great events that took place this past weekend and the winning of Laurie Putnam winning Teachers of the Word. Are there any other celebration in our midst? Birthdays, anniversaries, any event that you care to share? Yes. Yeah. Happy birthday to your son. Yes. Yeah. Also remember those who are listed in the bulletin, particularly the Rubin, Brandy Rubin and her family. Let us remember them in our prayer and for God's strength and for the whole family at this time. Let us pray. God of grace and God of love, Lord, you are awesome, awesome in this place. You're awesome because you are who you are. You are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. You created all things. Lord, you make all things into being. And Lord, you give us this place as your caretakers, as your people in this earth, in this side of heaven, Lord. We're here acknowledging your presence, acknowledging your power, and calling on your name, O God, for your name is above all any other names. Lord, we thank you that you are our God. We thank you that you have forgiven us. We thank you that you have saved us from our sins. We thank you, O God, that you have given us new life through Christ. Lord, we have hope. O Lord, where can we go apart from you? For you have the Word. You have the bread of life. You are the bread of life. Lord, we give you thanks for all the celebrations, the birthday, for the achievement. We thank you, O God, for all the celebrations in our lives, in our families, in our community, in our nation, and around the world. Lord, the beauty, the wonderful things that you are doing. Lord, we also come to you with our needs. Lord, we ask that you will heal us, restore us, and bring us your wholeness, O God. Once again, Lord, we fall at the feet of the cross. Lord, humble by your presence, knowing that we are only saved, O God, because of your grace. Lord, grant us all that we need according to your will. O Lord, we think of the world. O Lord, all the wrong things and all the things that are still in need of your grace, your presence, your healing, and your restorations. Lord, be present with us. And we think of the upcoming election in our community, in our, Lord, and particularly in our state. Be with those officials and those leaders who are trying to lead this nation. And Lord, guide them and lead them with your wisdom. And we ask that you will reveal your chosen person to lead this nation. And be with the one who are providing leadership for our community, for our nation, for around the world. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our needs. You know our thoughts. And yet you love us. So you call us, O God, to pray every day in the way your son Jesus had taught the disciples and all of us to pray together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
for our learning time together, our studying of the Word of God together this morning, would you please turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswerving for the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And let us consider how we may, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Encouraging one another. So recall for a moment, think back your week. Think back even the weekend or just yesterday. If you could go back even a little farther, what were the encouraging words that you heard or the encouraging words that you said to other people? Can you call some all? Even just generally, just shout aloud any words, you know, of encouraging words. Where are they? Good job. You can do it. Thank you. Keep on going, right? You appreciate it. I'm proud of you. And that's what we said to Laurie Putnam and saying, you know, we're proud of you for being Teacher of the Year. I mean, so I would mention, I would not overdone this. So congratulations to her. We're proud of her. All right? So we say those words. Have you encouraged other people this past week with those words in some other ways? You see, Hebrews chapter 10 describe for us at this point in time, for Christians, for people like us who are living in the days where we feel like, well, everything perhaps is for grabs, right? For the way we think about perhaps parenting, the way we think about, like, say, coffee. What do I mean by that? Well, some say, well, coffee is good for your heart, or coffee is good for your health. So I'm beginning to think, well, the many Dunkin' Donuts or the many coffee stores is like trying to help us, right? It's good news. Coffee is good for you. And we hear about parenting in some sense that, well, these are the good ways to do parenting, and we learn about it. And all of a sudden, new study, new ways come and say, no, those are not really good ways. Learn the new ways of parenting. And you can go on about the list. And if we are paying attention, it can also happen to our faith by the things that are going around the world, events and circumstances in our own lives even, can make us doubt about God, who God is, about our faith. And maybe perhaps we get into a point, things like, well, maybe faith isn't real. If you are that person, or if you know someone who are going through this challenging time, and faith or God or church is irrelevant to them, mind you, Hebrews chapter 10 is a good reminder that especially in those times, we need to come to God. See, for all the book of Hebrews thus far until chapter 10, The authors of Hebrews talk about doctrines and believing in God and having faith in God. And faith is the assurance of all things we hope for, the certainty of things not yet seen. So having faith is a good thing. So the author talked about all the wonderful things that involved in having faith. Then come chapter 10. It said, now that you heard about this faith, now that you learn about this faith, move from hearing about it, knowing about it, to practicing it, applying what you know, and put it to action in your life. How do we do that? First of all, in verse 22, it said that we are together. It said, let us draw near to God. Let us draw near to God. We need to pay attention to this word, drawing near to God, in time like this. Well, if you know the history of faith in both the Old Testament traditions and in the first century Christian world, back in the day that in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament time, it was for the normal people impossible to draw near to God in a physical sense and also religious settings, because the presence of God reside in the most holy place, in the tabernacle, in the temple, where only the high priest can go and be near, drawn near to God, and through the curtain, and go in where the Ark of the Covenant is stored. And the high priest will be in there and praying on behalf of the people, sacrificing animal with the blood of the animal. He would go in for the forgiveness of his sins, for the forgiveness of the people. Only one time a year, and the Day of Atonement, and only one person, the high priest, would be allowed to go and approach God, to be drawn near to God. And the people wait outside the tabernacle, the tent that's built like a temple, and waited and see when is the high priest coming out. And they weren't allowed to go near the most holy place. But it's interesting that Hebrew chapter 10, verse 22, said, we are called in time like this, in their times, in the first hearer of this good news in the gospel, that we are called to draw near to God. It is now possible. The barriers between us and God, the curtains have been broken, that we can approach God directly at any time, any place, and that God is only what away? He's only a prayer away. We have direct access to God. Why? And how did it happen? Look at verse 20. This is how this happened. We have the confidence that we can dare to come into the presence of God, the most holy place. Verse 20, by a new and living way. We dare with boldness and courage, without fear, we can come to God. Why? By a new and living way open for us. The original Greek word for this new, the word that is used here, new, is actually only occur one time in this particular context, in this verse, in the whole entire Bible, only at this place. That Greek word is called, can you turn to your neighbor and say, prophetos. Can you say that? Prophetos. Now you just learn one Greek word. You don't ever have to take Greek ever again, right? Prophetos. That's the word that is used here, is the word for new, which literally means, if you translate this, it literally means that freshly killed, freshly slaughtered. What could that possibly be? The freshly killed. Who could this be? Our Lord Jesus, right? And he is the living sacrifice. a new and living way opened for us. Here's the good news, folks, that all of us are completely made holy once and for all by the blood of Jesus Christ. When Christ see you and me, he see us perfect. Let me say this again. You are perfect in the eyes of God. Yes, he is making us new and holy every day, continuing by the power of the Holy Spirit. But what Christ did for us on the cross, by his blood, he washed away all of our what? Our sins, how many times? Once, sin for all. It is finished. It is done. So we Christians, throughout history, from time to time, are accused as people or religious people who have a bloody religion. You know, it could be bad in the eyes of the world if we talk about is blood and blood and blood. Yes, that could sound really bad. But you see, if you really think about it, that if our sins are truly washed away only by the blood of Jesus Christ, we should not shy away from it. We should not even apologize the fact that we are saved only by who? The blood of Jesus Christ, who is freshly killed and slaughtered for our sakes, and he's a living, living sacrifice. Who opened the door, who opened the way for us so that you and I, my friends, will have direct access to God. Can we say amen to that? So when we come to God this morning, in his presence, we come not half-heartedly. We don't come with double-mindedness. We come to God knowing that God sees us pure. God sees us perfect. So we come just as we are, as the song said, come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time before your God, just as you are. Why? Because now we come to God with a sincere and a pure heart. All of our hearts have been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are washed. We are washed with pure water. Think of the purest water in the whole wide world. You and I, my friends, are washed with that pure water. The image of the baptism, doesn't it come into place, doesn't it? That is the outward sign of our inward love for God, that we are washed away. All of our sins are washed away, and we're made cleansed by what Christ did on the cross. So what is our duty? What is that action that God is calling us to do? Our job, my friends, is to draw near to God every day. To draw near to God every day, living by faith. Now, it's not over when you draw near to God every day. As I said before, challenges in life is going to come. The world's going to test your faith. If not, it will be in your own families, at your own place, or your own workplace, or your community that you're part of. Your faith will be tested. And here is God reminding us. Not only we can draw near to God, not only we should draw near to God, we need to, verse 23. What does it say, verse 23? Let us hold what? Let us hold unswerving. Let us hold fast to the hope we profess. Let us hold on to this hope. It's not the, well, maybe, I think so, I hope so, this faith thing may work, oh, I think God may deliver me, God may help me, maybe God's there. Not that kind of hope. But the hope and assurance that you and I, my friends, have been saved and we have eternal life. That we go back to that very beginning in which we have all been saved by God. That we have been given eternal life. And the author is saying, hold on to that hope. Hold on to that faith. The faith that you profess. The hope that you receive.
the forgiveness and grace and the mercy that has been made available to you. Hold on. Don't let it go. Yes, a lot of things in the world don't last. And it could be tested, it could be challenged, and it would not stand. But when it comes to eternal life and salvation, this can never, ever, ever be redone or taken away. But it is far possible. It is possible that we can stray away from this faith. And that's why the warning comes here. We got to hold on to it. See, the people who hear this text at the very beginning, the first audience, they were very, in fact, going through this challenge because they just became Christians. And then all of a sudden, they all challenged with the comfort of life and the things that they are used to. And they were deciding, and some of them, in fact, already went back to their old religion, their old ways of doing things. And in their context, it was going back to Judaism. Those Jews who became Christians were tested and tempted and challenged to say, you know what? I'm more comfortable with my old ways, so I'm going to abandon Christianity and go back to the old ways, the old lives that I know. Do you know some people like that today? Once in a while, they would try God. They will try to church, come to church, and they would try about Christianity. We had heard about this nationally, it may be perhaps in our context. And then finally they said, I'm not for established religion. I'm not for church. They're all hypocrites, right? Have you heard of this? And so they look for a perfect setting, a perfect religion, a perfect place. And maybe you have heard of this. If you ever find a place called a perfect church, a perfect religion, it said don't join it. Because you might ruin it, right? Precisely, he says that there's no one is perfect except Christ. That Christ is the one that makes everything right, and he's the one that we're holding on to. Don't lose Christ. Hold on to it. No matter what, it is worth it. It is worth it. Hold on to that anchor, the anchor of your soul. All of the things in your life, all of the events and circumstances, until you meet the day of the Lord, until you die, until you witness, if that's the timing, the Lord's coming. Until that time, we will go through difficult times. Challenges, and we will be tested. But Hebrews said, hold on to that faith. And when we do that, now we move to the third things that Hebrew is teaching us here, that we ought to consider. We need to consider not just drawing near to God and not just holding on, but in order to practice our faith, and in order to live every day by faith, it said we need to spur, at verse 24, we need to encourage one another. We need to spur one another on toward what? Love and good deeds. So good deeds, my friends, actually are good for the soul. Things like when we collect soup today, this morning, and do we do mission works, and we support people and heal in the healing business, or in doing charity works. We do good works. We say nice things to people. We help one another. But it's interesting that the author of Hebrew moves from us encouraging one another toward love and good deeds, what we are called to do, that we ought to be encouraging one another, and that is only possible. That is only possible in a place called what? Verse 25. Not giving up going to church. Verse 25.
not giving up meeting together as some are the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. To spur one another, to encourage one another works. I believe it is, according to Hebrews, that in the setting like this, in the assembly of men and women in the, of the church. So when somebody said, you know what, I can be a Christian without going to church. I can read my Bible. I can pray on my own. Well, it's kind of possible. But that's not a good idea, is there? Because you can't encourage one another alone. You need other people. But see, in this particular context, in this Hebrew, some have already fallen away from attending church services, attending worship services, and they're going back to their old way, either legalism or things that they know in their own custom. They are doing their own things. But God said, uh-uh. Actually, no, uh-uh, it's not in here, but he said, go to church. That's why I'm encouraging you all to say, go to church. Go to church. We must go to church. And we need to encourage other people to go to church. If it's all possible on Sundays. And here's the thing. People go where they connect. And so we need to be there in church, connecting with one another. And it's this an age, there's many challenges and many things are going on. And yes, I acknowledge that Sunday morning is not particularly feasible for a lot of people. My wife, Anna, used to work as a nurse overnight, what do you call a grave shift nurse, right? The grave hour shift or grave shift hour? Graveyard. Thank you, graveyard. Thanks, somebody know what I'm talking about. That working from 11 to 8 in the morning, right? That hours for 7 years. And she had to work every other weekend. It was impossible for her to go to church on Sunday morning if she wanted to, every single Sunday. Or when she had to work through straight to the Saturday morning, and she had to work in the following weekends. It's hard. And I know there's so many people have to work on Sundays too these days. What I'm saying here, if it's not the particular place and time, you're not connecting. We have to find a place, folks, that we can connect with other people so that we can worship together, we can assemble together, that we can meet together. No, I don't suggest that we give up our meetings on Sunday mornings. But we must find a way. We must find a way to encourage one another, to connect, to spur one another on toward love and toward good deeds. According to Hebrews, that can only happen when we meet as the body of Christ. And you all are doing just that right now. The very fact that you come to this morning to worship God, you come to the throne of God with boldness and with a sincere heart, with a single-mindedness to worship God. And then two, as Hebrews say, you draw near to God and you hold on to it. And now, in this place, in this building, when the service ends, when you talk to one another, you're actually seeing one another, you're connecting with one another, you're actually talking and listening to one another and encouraging one another to love and to do good deeds. That's our calling, to live by faith every day, to live by faith every week, to live by faith until the day of the Lord. And all the more as you see the day approaching. What does that mean? It means that Christ, who now sits at the right hand of God, the throne of God, and the other side of the veil, the curtain, in heaven, right next to God, who is the high priest, interceding for us, actually praying for us, advocating for us, he will come again. On that day, we will stand with the Lord. with the assurance of faith and hope, that we hold on to this faith and this hope, but most importantly, the love. The greatest all of these is love. We hold on to the love that we have for God and for one another. On that day, my friends, you'll be called, "Well done, my faithful servant." What if that day doesn't come soon enough? Men and women, I have to say this. Our future, our lives, it's not guaranteed. There's so many uncertainty in lives. Who knows? We're going to live for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Who knows? Maybe we meet the Lord before His returns. But whatever day come first, may we hold on. May we hold on to the faith, the hope, and the love that we have for God, for one another. Thanks be to God. Amen.